Rob. It's download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We start our new Thursday night segment here with Madeline Dubik. Madeline, I was in the beginning of the show, I was like, do we call it The State We're In? Which is a good name, but that's already been taken. There was a European show that did that name.
Really?
There's like
also
the
Dutch. An education advocacy organization in Illinois called Advance Illinois that puts out
The State We're In.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what about Bring the Illinois? Right? Does that work? Okay, we'll figure it out. We got some time. Madeline Dubik, of course, the publisher of RebootIllinois.com and PolitiFact Illinois as well. Good to see you. You've been on the program before.
Thank you.
All right, so as we sort of sift through the Illinois, if you will.
Yeah.
This week we really kind of started up what we're going to get closer and closer to what could be a budget deal. The grand bargain. We saw with the budget address. But still, today, Governor Rauner's budget team started on display talking about the budget they put forward. Billions of dollars out of whack. I mean, are you seeing at all any sort of movement towards a deal that would end this stalemate, this historic stalemate?
It certainly didn't feel that way from the hearing today, nor from the tone or tenor of the General Assembly yesterday, as the governor was giving his remarks and Democratic majorities were
laughing,
jeering,
yeah,
hooting derisively. Several of them had signs on their desks that talked about alternate facts. And
that's not even an Illinois thing. That's a Trump thing. That's a Kellyanne Conway thing. What are we doing? You got to keep it all straight.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so let's talk about the budget address yesterday. There was at least a chord that Rauner was trying to strike, which is we should all come together for this. It was met with a lot of, I think you would say that it was, I don't want to say it was, I guess the idea, what I'm trying to get at is it wasn't deserved, but at the same time, the Democrats are jeering and laughing because they feel that Governor Rauner is one of the reasons why there has been such trouble in Springfield and divisiveness because of the way that he's doing politics before policy.
Yeah, well, he's never stopped campaigning, and so that doesn't make things any easier, and it sort of defies reasonable reality and expectation when you say out of one side of your mouth that you want everyone to come together for the good of the state, and on the other side of your mouth you're denying that you're involved with your Republican Party's BossMadigan.com campaign and are constantly bashing the guy you just shook hands with before you delivered your speech.
Right. So The real emphasis is put on this grand bargain. For people who haven't necessarily heard that before or know what that is, let's talk about that.
It's grand.
It's the Senate.
Huge.
They're leaving Mike Madigan out of it for now, but it's the Senate leaders, Cullerton and Redonio, getting together to really sort of hammer out some compromises on both sides to get to a budget deal.
It is, exactly, and it is grand in that it is, 13 different pieces of legislation, everything from an income tax increase to a property tax freeze. At one point, there was a piece of legislation in there that dealt with raising the minimum wage that is now going to be handled separately, pension changes. Mm-hmm. School funding reform. There's a placeholder for the budget. Gambling expansion.
Just put it all in one bargain.
Just one grand bargain.
Madeline, a texter just texted in, and it really was the next question I was going to ask. Is today was a big, a loss for, I would say, for the people in the way that the judge decided not to even to overturn the idea that state workers can continue to get paid during this budget standoff. Most times when there's not a budget, you don't get paid as a state worker. Early on in the process, there was a ruling that said state workers can get paid, and it's taken the pressure off, the deadline from the lawmakers. They could take their time. Cullerton and Redonia are taking their time with this grand bargain, even as bills pile up and we don't have a spending plan. The idea from the attorney general is if we put a deadline on, it'll force them to get to the table. With that, not an option.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that can be done to raise the stakes or at least put a deadline in place so that we don't get to the end of this session and be like, well, you know what? Let's take a summer break and see what we can do in the fall.
Boy, I'm not sure there are many options left because, you know, a lot of us have felt for some time that there needs to be a real government shutdown to put pressure on these guys to come together and put on their big boy pants and big girl pants and get something done and get something hammered out. You know, there was every indication that the previous ruling was actually going to be in Lisa Madigan's favor, but not to be so. So
are there options? Are there
I
anything-
think the only other thing out there is the fact that the lawmakers themselves are being paid their own paychecks quite late.
So,
you know, there are some of them, this is their truly their sole source of income.
And you know, even, I mean, as another texter pointed out, you know, well, the election will do that. We got to toss out all these lawmakers. But we saw, I mean, we just had an
election.
That's
in 2 years.
Yeah, but, and we had an election. Yes. And there was this thought that, you know, things were going to change. And it didn't change. If anything, it swayed in the favor of Democrats. I mean, maybe the supermajority didn't stick, but it wasn't really a supermajority to begin with.
The Republicans gained seats, but not enough to have it be all that meaningful. So
I guess my point is elections on their own
they're
not going to change the way that these two parties down in Springfield are just not compromising enough to get something done. Now, we've been talking about that. You just, you know, set out the plan for the grand bargain, and it seems like they're getting together, and it seems like Rauner's doing everything he possibly can to tiptoe around it, to let them do their work instead of riling up the politics. Do you feel, I mean, I guess as a layman, I'm like, okay, let's say that gets done and it's, wow, what an accomplishment. It still has to go through Mike Madigan.
Right.
And I don't understand by just keeping him out of the loop, sort of saying you're not involved. It just to me feels like he is I don't think he'll do anything to help or hurt, you know, his position as the Democratic leader. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it's very pessimistic. I'm being very pessimistic that they'll put a grand bargain in front of him and political pressure on its own would make him vote for it.
Political pressure has not worked thus far. The only thing that in 25, 30 years of watching Mike Madigan operate, I've ever seen him, you know, he does listen to his members. And when his members feel like they've had enough and they are pressuring him to the point where he thinks they may be right if they tell him that their own elections, their own re-elections may be threatened by this.
Right. Maybe he'll listen. But that's his job. I mean, this job is to, I mean, he really does think, you know, as chairman of the Democratic Party, his job is to make sure they get reelected. So he's got his eye, as much as we sort of get on Rauner about always campaigning, Mike Madigan's doing the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. And he is solely concerned with setting up his members for the next election and the state Democratic Party for the next election.
Okay, so I kind of made a joke in the carryout about, I did a head scratcher in the way that when Governor Rauner began his tenure as governor, the first real big thing he did was he repealed an income tax.
No.
What was it?
The income tax had always been set to expire.
Okay.
And
sure,
the Democratic majorities did nothing to take care of that before.
So the Democrats are the ones that did. But they did it for political pressure to make Rauner make a move on taxes, right? So anyway, but my point being that if this grand bargain calls for an income tax increase,
yeah,
which has been a big part of what Governor Rauner didn't want to do, what does that look like at the end? What the optics of that when all of this has gone 2.5 years and we're like, hey, I did it, and it's back at 5%, and we got property tax caps. Is that enough?
It remains to be seen who takes the fall for that or who gets blamed with it. Certainly he's the governor, and he is supposed to be the leader of the state, so he will wear the jacket to a large extent, I'm sure, and Mike Madigan will work very hard to make sure that he wears the jacket more than Madigan himself does. I can envision ads now that point out that when Governor Rauner first ran for office, he promised that he was going to decrease the income tax back down to 3% by the end of his first term in office.
Yeah. That's not going to happen, right? Madeline Dubik is my guest tonight. She is the publisher of RebootIllinois.com, also PolitiFact Illinois. All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll add in State Senator Daniel Biss, ask about what he thinks of the grand bargain, as well as his plan to make anyone who runs for president to release their tax returns if they want to be on the Illinois ballot.
They will not be tax-free.
They will not be tax-free. Madeline Dubik in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download Here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Madeline Dubik. She is the publisher of RebootIllinois.com. PolitiFact Illinois as well. You know, it's something you have been working on because, you know, it was in the paper not too long ago that you were going behind the old paywall. You're doing subscriptions. How's that going?
It's going great, but we'd love to have more people sign up and check us out.
What do you get? You just get access to all the stuff that you guys are doing?
You get access to our PolitiFact Illinois stuff is free 24/7. But a lot of our in-depth reporting and analysis and fast facts, infographics, insight, all those kinds of things are behind a paywall. So for less than what you spend on Starbucks.
Classic line.
In a day, you can get real facts, coming not from alternative
a,
facts.
Coming from a public media background, that Starbucks line gets you every time. Always, man. It's always for the cost of one cup of coffee.
It's true.
Well, Reboot's a great. It's Reboot Illinois is great. You should subscribe.
I mean, all these people are worried about Donald Trump, or they love Donald Trump, and I say more power to them. Keep staying involved, but you need to get involved in your state government too.
Yeah.
And understand what's going on and what these guys are trying to do.
Well, we're talking with Madeline. A new segment we're going to do on Thursdays here. We're waiting on State Senator Daniel Biss, and we'll get him shortly when he comes through. The election, we talked about the election, is 2 years away.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Kennedy came out last week saying, I'm running for governor. Kennedy, of course, a big Democratic name, not necessarily in Illinois, but a big name, but a self-proclaimed millionaire, billionaire. And he, like Governor Rauner, is ready to bring his own money to the game.
Yep. And he's going to need every bit of it that he can get, because apparently the Democrats won't be able to attack Bruce Rauner now for being too wealthy if Chris Kennedy is in the race, and J.B. Pritzker.
I was going to say the other's J.B. Pritzker, and our next guest, his name has been thrown around as somebody who may be interested in that state house at some point, or the governor's mansion. State Senator Daniel Biss, he's a Democrat who represents some of the north suburbs, including Northbrook, Skokie. Senator Biss, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin. How are you?
Good. So, you know, we were just talking, Madeline Dubik's here as well, and we were talking about the concept
Hey, Senator.
You know, Chris Kennedy getting into the race for governor, and if we are at the stage here in the state of Illinois where you have to be really super rich to run for office.
No, of course we're not. I think there are people who think that because Bruce Rauner was elected governor after spending unprecedented amounts of his own money and is now already on the way to spending even more unprecedented amounts of his own money this time, and I think people saw Donald Trump and learned a lot of these lessons from that, too, though I would urge people not to learn too many lessons about emulating Donald Trump. But the truth of the matter is that we are sitting right now in 2017 in a moment of unbelievable activist hunger. where people across the state of Illinois are hungry for someone who's going to offer a clear, progressive economic vision for how to really fix the state's problems and are looking for something to get involved in.
Okay,
and
let me...
I think if you build a movement that is more powerful than all the money and all the machines in the world.
Let me ask you this, Senator. Is any of that reflected in the grand bargain that is happening in the Senate right now? Do you feel like there are at least any sort of thoughts or movements included in that grand bargain that address that deal with that hunger that you were just talking about?
Well, I think the grand bargain represents an effort to move past the terrible impasse we're in, and the people of Illinois have an incredible hunger to do that because the state's being taken apart brick by brick because the damage being done is unbelievable. But I also think the grand bargain kind of exists in the world we live in now, and while fixing the problems in front of us today, we also have to be aspirational about what's the way forward. And the way forward ultimately is going to be to fund government by getting money where it can be gotten fairly, by taxing the millionaires and billionaires who have gotten away scot-free while the rest of us are paying too much, by using those resources to fund crucial programs that actually invest in people and allow our economy to grow based upon investing from the middle out, not just hoping that some kind of trickle down is going to work. And I think we have to ultimately build a long-term vision, not just for how to get through today's crisis, but how to get to the place that Illinois needs to and can eventually be.
Senator, just to clarify, what do you mean when you say they've gotten away scot-free? Because I think they still pay their taxes.
Well, they may or may not pay their legal taxes, but they certainly pay a much lower share of the tax burden than most states. Illinois has one of the most regressive tax codes of any state in the country. And so when people in the middle class and the working poor feel like they're paying a lot, they are. And yet government's always broke because the richest people pay less, partially because of our Constitution, partially because of other aspects of our tax code. But the bottom line is that if you compare us to lots of other states, not just the famously liberal states like California and New York, but states around us like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, we are much more reliant on gouging the middle class and the poor to fund government than those other states are, and it's not fair and it's not right, and it's also not economically sound.
Well, okay, so let me ask you about one of the big things that Governor Rauner has asked for in his turnaround agenda, and he seems to be stuck on it for the grand bargain, this idea of capping or having a cap on property taxes. I mean, that's in the same line that what you're talking about, the idea that the middle class is getting taxed too much and there's not enough to show for it. I mean, do you agree with the governor on the idea of capping property taxes?
Well, I agree that property taxes are too high. The question is, if you want to bring down property taxes, as we all should, how are you going to pay for it? And what the governor wants to do is to take that money out of the wages of working middle class people. He wants to, for example, go after the prevailing wage. He wants to do more outsourcing in school districts. And these are things that would push down wages and I think typically also decrease the quality of services. And so what I would say is that we should emulate other states that finance their education systems in a very, very different way, that are able to tax people who can afford it to find that money and therefore have much more sane property tax levels.
So, Senator, your chamber's leader is obviously one of the ones, John Cullerton, working on this deal. And part of that deal as it stands at the moment is to allow some of that outsourcing. Are you saying that you're not in favor of this grand bargain?
Yeah, step in line, Biss. What's going on?
I've never been one to step in line. Listen, I'm a very, very enthusiastic supporter of people sitting down like adults and trying to work things out. There are parts of the grand bargain that make a tremendous amount of sense. There are parts that I like less, and all of it's changing very fast. And, I'm going to evaluate the pieces, one at a time as they come forward. When we voted on four grand bargain bills last week, I voted for three of them that I think were sensible, and I voted against one that didn't make sense to me. And I don't think that anybody should say, listen, because my leader is for this, I have to vote for all of it. I think we all have to make our own decisions. But what I do think is really important in this is at least you've got people, Democrat and Republican, sitting down and trying to work something out. And that, unfortunately, is new in Springfield and should be noted and should be lauded, and it's something we need an awful lot more of.
All right, Senator Biss, we got to wrap up here, but really quick, Income tax. Show us your income. Show us your tax returns, or you don't get on the ballot. Go.
Right. So I put in a bill, Senate Bill 982, that says, listen, if you are unwilling to release 5 years of income tax returns, then you can't appear on the ballot in Illinois running for president. This is something that candidates of both parties have agreed to do for generations now. And precedent was broken by President Trump, and I think it was really problematic for the country.
You think it'll get through? You think it's just a dog and pony show, or do you think you'll actually get something on there going there?
I'm not one for dog and pony shows. I'm going to try hard to pass it, and I think I've got a real chance. I'm not going to count any chickens, but I don't put in bills just to make statements.
There
I'm
you go.
To pass it, and
I'd like to hear that.
I hope we will.
Senator Biss, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Senator.
Hey, thanks so much, Justin.
And Madeline Dubik, of course, the publisher of RebootIllinois.com, PolitiFact Illinois. Thank you as well. We will have you back here the next Thursday that's available. I mean, we have Blackhawks games and things like that. But I think it was successful. So, the state we're in, Illinois.
Or as we like to say on Reboot Illinois, only in Illinois.
Only in, oh, there you go. Only in Illinois. We got it.
720 WGN.